A very good morning to you, Africa. Good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM. So how are you this morning on this? We continue actually celebrating Africa Day. How are you commemorating? How are you commemorating the Africa Day? So the day which actually foster pride in African identity, in our cultures, in our heritage, and encouraging African to embrace their varied traditions, and while promoting also a sense of belonging and community. So I think this is a day that serves as a platform to counter those negative stereotypes and highlight, and we from ourselves as African highlight our contribution to the global culture and science and development. So yeah, it's a day when, you know, as African, it's an opportunity for us to reflect on the continent, you know, on the continent's journey, and celebrate the success in areas as independence, peace buildings, and development. So welcome to Eagle FM, and thanks for joining us. I know most of you, you're probably in under the blanket, especially in the area that is that's much colder. So, but thanks for joining us, and thanks for tuning in into unpacking the day. This is a show we should continue, even if you're on holiday. You know, this is a show where we deep down, dive deep down, deep into the stories and events and issues that shape our world. So my name is Michael Shaveni, and this is a show, and this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It is about you. Share your thoughts, say your opinion and perspective on the topics that matters to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And Monday, as usual, as Monday, every Monday, from around 7:45, 7:45 to 8, we will cross to our Wintik studio, where we usually have our FNB Namibia segment. We will do that when we come to that time. So we cross to Wintik for FNB segment, and then around 8, we will be back again here in Ondangwa. We'll cross back to myself, and we continue as usual. So very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. As I said, today is the 26th of May. The year is 2025. Yesterday we definitely celebrated the 25th is the day when we celebrated Africa Day. But on this day, let's look at what happened on this day. You know, on this day in Africa, So while Africa Day is celebrated actually on the 25th May, to commemorate the foundation, or the founding of the AU, of the OAU, in 1963, the actual charter was actually signed by most member states, on the 26th of May, 1963. So with the exception of Morocco, only with the exception of Morocco. However, the official Africa Day holiday remain on the 25th of May. So on this day, leaders from 30 African nations convene in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to establish the OAU. The organization's primary aim was to promote unity and solidarity among African states, coordinate efforts to achieve a better life for the people of Africa, and defend the sovereignty of member states. So the OAU, played a really a crucial role in supporting liberation movement across the continent, and laid the groundwork for the African Union, which replaced the OAU in 2002. So what also happened on May the 26th in 1999, Kule Kwalehobe from Botswana was crowned Mrs. Universe, becoming the first African-born woman to win the title. So her victory was celebrated across the continent, and highlighted the growing recognition of Africa, of African beauty and the talent on the global stage. So yeah, basically, that what we have, what events that happen, the significant event that happened on this day, in Africa. So our thought of the day on this day, May the 26th, thought of the day, a buffalo does not feel the weight of its horn. A buffalo does not feel the weight of its horn. The proverb conveys the idea that individual often become so accustomed to their own burdens or challenges that they no longer perceive them as a burdensome. So just as a buffalo carries its heavy horn effortless, people can adapt to their circumstances, no matter how demanding they may seem to others. So this saying, this proverb, highlights human resilience and adaptability. So over time, what once felt overwhelming can become a natural part of one's existence. So it also serves as a reminder that we might underestimate the challenges the other people face, because they appear to handle them with ease and not realizing the internal adjustment they have made. So in essence, the proverb teaches us about the human capacity to adapt and the importance of empathy, recognizing that everyone carries their own set of horns. Everyone carry their own set of horns, whether visible or not. So our today thought of the day, a buffalo does not feel the weight of its own horn. So a very good morning if you just joining us, and wherever you are listening us from, you are welcome on this day. So wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you, and right, and accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your smartphone, and that's all what you need. So, and you are instantly connected to the news, to your favorite shows, and also to so much more features. So all you need to do is just download the Eagle FM mobile app, which you can download from Google Play or the App Store, and you are good to go. So, and if you want to stay in the know with business, economic policies, and any and other social issues around the country or beyond beyond the borders of the land of the brave, you can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So all you need to do is just sent a WhatsApp message, with your name and email at 081-241-44. 081-241-44. And if you are a business person, what we do here, we make it easier, for you to grow your business. So by, with our complimentary apps, Imba and Eagle FM, mobile app, those are really perfect for boosting your product and services to a wider range of consumers. So, and don't forget our social media platform. They are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or product or service and make it more visible. So what you need to do, just contact us or at 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So we're going to meet on the other side. For now, we're going to cross to Windhoek for F&B segment. Stay tuned.
You're now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
A very good morning to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to another edition of the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Today, I am joined by Theo. Theo, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing this morning?
The morning's lovely. How is it with you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Welcome to another edition of the F&B segment. So, let's get right into it. Give us a brief intro of who you are, what you do, and yeah, we'll take it from there.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. My name is Theo Hidulika. I'm employed at FNB Namibia as a fraud analyst, where we assist our clients with various activities or various cases, as well as just banking in general. So FNB, Bank of the People,
yes,
we're always available and we're always here for you.
So as a fraud analyst, what exactly does that entail?
All right. My job entails assisting, assessment, as well as short investigation. What we mean by this is we assist, we are the first contact for our clients with that are being defrauded, scammed, knowingly, unknowingly. So in my particular role, what I do is, we see what happened, what was compromised, how can we stop that, where the funds went or what was taken, how we can recover that. So it's a whole process that I cannot go into detail, but, we are the first point of contact when our clients need assistance. So we are the guys that look after them and make sure that they are protected. So that's basically a short version of what I do.
So, when a customer calls a fraud line, there's a chance they'll be talking to you.
Yes.
And, that fraud line, can you just give the number for the listeners?
All right. So our number is, 061-299-2222. That is FNB's official contact center number. So you can call that anytime. We are open from, 8 to 10 on weekends and 7 to 10 on weekdays, where we're open on a public holiday as well. And Sunday. So it's
anytime
we're available. Yes.
Yes. So, let's get into, bank fraud. What exactly is bank fraud?
All right. So the short version of it, it's basically an attempt or successful attempt to take funds from the bank and its client unlawfully, unauthorized. So this can come in many forms. Scammers are always busy. They are always busy coming up with new tactics, new programs to deceive you. The most common one is an impersonator. You get a call, you want something, and you divulge your personal information. That is how they get access to your account. And most of the time, our clients are not aware of this. And it's such a big issue in the country right now that our client needs to be vigilant, especially with the impersonator calls. They will call with the story, with something that they are making up, and you as the client, you will believe. So it's very important that you stay focused,
mm-hmm.
you stay alert, because they'll catch you at the most unexpected time.
Yeah.
And by the time you realize what happened, it might be too late. It might be costly as well. So to the listeners, to our clients at large,
mm-hmm.
be vigilant at all time. Call us on our official numbers. Do not think colleagues. Do not take part in these investment schemes.
Yeah.
Because these guys come up with different tactics to compromise and take your hard-earned funds.
Yeah, and I'm actually glad you're here, someone from the fraud line, because we've heard that people also call customers saying that, for example, now impersonating that, hi, I'm Theo from the F&B Fraud Center. I need so-and-so. So please just emphasize to the listeners some of the things that F&B would never call a client to request.
All right. So one thing that our clients in the nation at large need to take into consideration is that your bank will never call you from a cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't call our clients after hours. Furthermore, the bank will never ask your personal banking information. This includes your card numbers, your card PIN, your account numbers, your passwords, anything related to your banking. The bank will never ask you for your personal information, as that is your information and only you should know it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever a client gets a call, we are calling from ABCD. We have picked up ABCD. Can you kindly provide us your card information? You
yeah.
already picked up that there is a scammer. There is somebody that's trying to have access, unlawful access to your account.
Mm-hmm.
So F&B will never ask you your card information. F&B will never ask you your usernames, your passwords, your PINs, your personal banking information. That
yeah.
is sensitive information that only you should know.
Yeah.
So we will never, never, ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And one of our listeners messaged us over the weekend saying that she fell victim to a quote-unquote investment scheme, which is how she was defrauded of her money. So for the listeners, what are some other signs that a scam might be taking place, whether that's over the phone, online, through text message, or anything like that? What are some things people should look out for?
All right. The most easiest one is the emails.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a link,
mm-hmm.
look at the email address. What type of email is this? Does it look legitimate?
Yeah.
Search the company online. Is it a legitimate company?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, look at what type of information are these people going to ask you?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they will say you need to make an investment for you to get a larger investment. That is already something which is suspicious. Or you need to pay a certain amount for you to get a payout.
Yeah.
So be very vigilant on that. The calls that comes in, if your gut feeling is telling you that no, something is wrong here, hang up, call us on the right channels.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if this person is asking you too many information and they are being aggressive or they are trying to demand, no, we need your card information, no, we need your PIN too for this to go through,
yeah.
then that is a scam. So your gut feelings will always tell you what's happening,
mm-hmm.
and you should always act on it. And if you do become now a casualty in that, the
mm-hmm.
first thing you need to do is contact us immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use your digital tools on your app or online banking to cancel your cards if they are compromised, but contact us immediately so that we can assist you in securing your funds, securing your account, and see what transpired and how we can assist you further. But your gut feeling is very important. Pick up on the small keys. The tone in the person that's calling, the
mm-hmm.
number, what type of information are they asking?
Mm-hmm.
Are they aggressive? You know, so be very vigilant. It's the small things that will tell you that this is a scam.
Yes, most definitely. So now if I'm a client, I notice that a scam is taking place, or I notice that I have been scammed already. Are you able to walk us through some of the steps, in the procedure of reporting such an incident? Like, do I have to, I don't know, maybe submit my ID number? Do I have to physically go to the bank and so on? What does that recovery process look like?
All right. So if you suspect of being scammed or you're scammed, the first thing that you need to do is act.
Mm-hmm.
Act immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Contact your bank on the line that I provided. I'll provide it again. 061-299-22.
Mm-hmm.
Report this incident. If you have access to your online banking or app, blocked your cards, everything that you might think was compromised, it's better to block.
Yeah.
And also then change your passwords. Change your passwords to your online banking. Change your passwords to your cell phone banking.
Mm-hmm.
Your e-wallets. Change them immediately. But the first thing you need to do is act and call the contact center. We are always available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens from there is an internal process. But usually what we will do is we will investigate. We have dedicated team, our forensics team, our arrest team that will take over.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need your part. What transpired? When did it transpire? Who called you? Which number called you? Did you save this number? What did you provide?
Mm-hmm.
Every piece of information is key for us to be able to assist you at a faster rate and accurate rate. So keep all records of the communication between you and this individual,
mm-hmm.
but trust your instincts. If it sounds wrong, it's mostly wrong.
Yeah.
It's not worth saying that you won $1,000 and then you lose $10,000 in the process. So be vigilant.
Most definitely.
Yes.
So, you know, with the banking online, it's very convenient, something that a lot of us have now come accustomed to. But with that convenience comes now the risk element. What are some safety tips you can share when it comes to online banking in particular? How do people protect themselves when it comes to online banking and transactions?
All right. Online banking is our way of giving you access to your account mm-hmm. without you needing to visit one of our branches.
Mm-hmm.
FNB is so innovative and so updated that we have world-class systems with world-class defensive mechanism in place. But you as a client, what can you do to protect yourself further? Unique passwords.
Mm-hmm.
Create passwords that only you know, with special characters, numbers, capital letters, and so forth.
Yeah. If your name is Theo, don't make your password Theo1.
Yes, don't make Theo1. Yes, exactly. You can make it Eagle FM, the Namibian, and 525, you know, something that cannot be easily guessed. You should also have a two-factor authorization. This is usually for your cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's also available on our digital platform. What this means is every time you try to make an online purchase, or every time an online purchase is attempted on your account,
mm-hmm.
you will get a notification that you must approve it. So that is very, 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 very good. Secondly, avoid using public Wi-Fis. Avoid downloading softwares that can give access, remote access to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, what we don't know is that there are certain apps that can give access to your phone. It's like a back key into your phone, which has your banking application on. So that can also be a risk. Do not use your online banking on your colleague's computer, on your friend's computer, because computer saves and it can save your password.
Exactly.
So the small steps, the small things that you do in every day will protect you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't share your passwords. Be alert. Keep your information safe. And yeah. Try not to use multiple devices at one time, because you never know who has access to your device. Most of the time, it's the people that might be close to you, might be people that you are not aware of.
Yeah.
But it's up to you to protect yourself. And it's the small steps that will help you always.
Most definitely. Theo, is there any last message you'd like to give to the listeners before we let you go this morning? And please share the contact number one last time as well.
All right. To our listeners and our clients, it's very important that you stay vigilant, stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't sound right, it's not right. Is it too good to be true? It's not true. Always contact the bank when you feel something suspicious is going on. Always mm-hmm. contact the bank when you're unsure. We are always available to help you. Stay alert. Be careful where you place your phones, your cards, especially in the public domain, and be safe, guys. It's getting out of hand, and we are here to protect you, but we need you guys to also look after yourself. The small steps that I just gave, it's very important to you. And like I said, if you are feeling that something is wrong, call the contact center, 061-299-2222. We are always available to assist you anytime, any day. That is why FNB is saying, how can we help you?
Exactly, exactly. Theo, thank you very much for your time today. And this has been another edition of the FNB segment, proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. And we will see you again next week, Monday, same time, same place.
This has been the FNB segment, proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. Catch the FNB segment every Monday from 7:45.
Omudiha utekirwa kabuna imatina omjo chikao shafata na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyawo otaingongotisa mwene. anangeshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa nawa olonjika zeithani na omayakuro nirandithomwa yoe yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu datunda tu heari jamano tano oambiaji Eagle FM go aye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Yes, you are listening to Eagle FM, and in particular, you are tuned into Unpacking at the Day. We just actually, you know, concluded that segment, the F&B Namibia segment. So welcome back to the Ondangwa studio, and we continue here on Unpacking the Day. So Africa Day, normally each year actually African Union set a theme for Africa Day to focus attention on the key issues. For example, this year, the 2025 theme is Justice for Africans and People of African Descent through Reparations. So while 2024 focused on education fit for the 21st century, that was actually the theme. So the day encourages dialogue among Africa, African nations, and the global community to find solution, to share challenges, and also to work towards a sustainable development and peace. So stay tuned, because I'm gonna now, you know, go and check if I can get to my guest, and then continue the discussion on the significance of this day. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeitha nina omayaguro nirandithomwa yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari jamano tano oambiaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually a very good morning to you, and happy Africa Day if you're just joining us this morning. Today we continue to honor the 1963 birth of the Organization of African Unity, a symbol of our collective struggles and aspiration. And on this anniversary, we must ask, is the economic vision
we forged back then truly taking shape. So last year, just above 20% of Africa's 1.3 trillion trade stayed within our borders. More than 85% still actually sails to distant market like in Europe, Asia, and the Americas. Now, that means billion in value slipping through our fingers instead of fueling local factories, creating jobs, and strengthening our economies. So when the Africa Continent of Free Trade Area launched in January 2021, it promised to unite 54 nations into a single powerhouse. Yet today, growth is projected at barely 4%, far below the 7% threshold. Experts say we need to lift million out of poverty. Now, so the question is, can this continental pact finally deliver the integration and prosperity it promises? Now, to tackle some of these questions and challenges, we have invited Molly Lukukela, an economist and a lecturer at NAST. Molly, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning. Good morning, Mike.
So now, as we celebrate Africa Day, how would you describe where the continent's economies stand right now?
Well, Mike, good morning again. Thank you very much for inviting me to this beautiful program.
Yeah.
First of all, let me wish everybody a happy Africa Day. Indeed, on my side, I am very, very proud to be here.
Yeah.
And to live in Africa today. The numbers that you were quoting earlier on are quite impressive and quite scary at some point. You see, I would like to look at Africa before we get to the point.
Yeah.
I would like to look at Africa and compare it to a homestead or a house in the old village setup. You see this house?
In the old village.
Yes. take an example of a village in an African setup, an old village. There's this house that belongs to this very old lady.
Yeah.
This house is where the current Minister of Finance grew up. He grew up, he left, he became very big.
Yeah.
This same house is the house where the Minister of Health grew up. He grew up and left. So some parts of the house are worn out. They are broken. Everybody comes and takes these goods. It feeds the nation. Africa feeds the world.
Yeah.
Africa is a very old house in the village that has fed the rest of the world. Unfortunately, the rest of the world forgot what fed them, what made them to be. And that is the situation we are facing currently. Africa's economic challenges are linked to that analogy.
Yeah.
Now, last year, our leaders put together, actuated this agreement, this initiative to try and reverse that. And if you follow, if you had followed the development of this, you would realize that it was quite ambitious.
Yeah.
And it promised a lot of things from an economic perspective, a lot of jobs, a lot of technological transfer, a lot of trade, which basically translates to all the good things that you want to see.
Yeah.
However, what was not coming out, or what didn't come out quite strong to support the initiative, was the mechanism to make this a reality. It was not very much clear. Where it was clear, it was challenged by existing policies inside and outside Africa.
Yeah.
And so the progress as far as the Africa Free Trade Continent is concerned has been hampered by an orchestrated mechanism to slow down Africa's growth and its space on the world table. So, yes. But the belief and hope in the African Free Trade Continental Agreement is still very much alive. It just needs to be supported more. And later on, we're going to talk about the policy challenges.
Yeah.
And some of those infrastructure issues surrounding that. But to put this into perspective, Africa remains the powerhouse of the world. It just needs to be carried over by the people that had benefited from it before.
Mm.
That's my position.
Yeah. As you just, the analogies that you have used, it's feeding everybody, but mm-hmm. it looks as if, you know, from, if you're looking at it, it looks as if, you know, it remain below where it needs to be. And rightly said that there are mechanism being orchestrated, to keep it there. So what are those barriers that are preventing the continent from reaching its target, you know, where it wants to be?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the Africa Free Trade Continental Agreement, you have to understand that this was an initiative to promote intra-Africa trade.
Yeah.
Trade within Africa so that collectively Africa can rise and face the world and compete on the world.
Mm.
Now, what is the biggest weakness that is facing or that is bringing down that hope from being actually come to life? Number one, it is internal Africa conflicts, economic conflicts, social conflicts, geopolitical conflicts within Africa that hinders trade amongst Africa, amongst Africans themselves. That is very, very important to understand, because these conflicts are not necessarily engineered by Africans themselves.
Mm.
There's an external force that is engineering these conflicts to divert and drive away Africa's focus to trade amongst itself. That's number one. Number two, remember I used an analogy of an old house in the village.
Yeah.
The infrastructure landscape of Africa is very old, outdated, and far from being ready to trade with the world.
Yeah.
We have very old infrastructure in energy. Mm. Without energy, you cannot produce. Without energy, you cannot interact. Very, very old and outdated energy infrastructure. Number two, very old water infrastructure.
Yeah.
Without water, you can't run any mining industry. You can't run any agriculture industry. You can't do absolutely nothing.
Mm.
We have issues with capital inflow. We do not have enough capital to finance our infrastructure projects.
Yeah.
Remember the Inga Hydro Dam right here across the border.
Yeah.
It has taken years. The three countries that would benefit directly from it do not have enough money. Where is the FDI? Who is blocking the FDI to come in? Now, without this engine of growth, Africans amongst themselves cannot trade. And if they cannot trade, they find alternatives to where they can trade cheaply.
Mm.
And this is where now the rest of the world comes in with their cheap promises to come and lure Africans away from themselves to go and trade with them. The transportation network, it is very, very expensive to fly from Namibia to Gabon. Very, very expensive to fly from Namibia to Harare than it is to fly from Namibia to Europe.
Mm.
Than to send cargo from Namibia to America. All of these things put together, they compromise and complicate trade amongst Africans themselves.
Mm.
And so, to answer your question, really, there are multiple challenges, but these are just some of them that stand out for me right now. And to top it all, the policy landscape that is supposed to facilitate and guide trade is also, in my view, kind of hijacked.
Yeah.
Hijacked in the sense that it is not really speaking to Africans' needs themselves. Mm. You have institutions, supranational institutions, that comes to give us roadmaps.
Yeah.
Supra-institutions from Europe, from America, from Latin, wherever, that come to give Africa roadmap to trade.
Mm.
Do you think that they'll give us a roadmap that is detrimental to their own objectives?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So it is some of those things then that you realize and you wake up, you realize that your policy framework do not actually speak to the needs of the day for Africa. And so this and many others brings a lot of complications to Africa to really, really punch above its weight. Right now, Africa, like you rightly said, it is punching below its weight.
Yeah.
We have all these minerals, we have all these natural resources that had it been optimized, Africa would be one of the greatest nations in the world. But a combination of all those challenges that I've just alluded to somehow keeps Africa punching below its belt.
So from what you actually said, it looked like a really a long way to go. I mean, if you look in terms of the internal conflict, which there are a couple of African countries that are really going through that. So, and also the infrastructure that would actually take us couple of years maybe to improve that. And we will just continue this discussion when we come back from the commercial.
Need lightning fast internet? Barata's has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Barata's cutting edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through a high quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Barata's today. Visit us online at baratas.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, so, all right. From all the challenges that you have mentioned, the barriers that you have mentioned, is there any evidence that we at least moving in the right direction?
Yeah, that is an interesting question. So what is happening? What is the state of affairs?
Yeah.
Well, there are glimmers of hope in some areas.
Yeah.
Okay? There are glimmers of hope in some areas, but at the same time, there comes unexpected events that hits Africa and reverses the gains, 4 years of gains.
Mm.
Being wiped out by some other nation's decision overnight.
Yeah.
We will get to that if we have time.
Yeah.
Now, where are the areas of hope? In my view, I think that the issue of infrastructure is being looked at quite seriously.
Yeah.
And there's serious hope coming from there. Number one, the issue of infrastructure, Africa at large has been supported by Africa's true friends. The Asian, the Chinese Road and Railway Belt Initiative,
yeah.
I am sure you are aware of, that initiative has potential to connect pretty much of Central and East Africa.
Mm.
It has a potential to open up that big market. We are talking about connecting on a serious scale. Connecting Tanzania, connecting Kenya, connecting all of those localized countries, economies. If those countries are connected, that is engine number two of Africa. It would definitely boost economic activities in there.
Mm.
Coming to SADC, we see some hopes also coming in. For example, speaking on behalf of Namibia, we have still some support coming in to support our own domestic infrastructure need. Just last week, we saw Namibia and Germany signing a $1.3 billion loan for water infrastructure. What does that mean? It means that if that infrastructure, additional infrastructure, is added to the equation, it is going to boost productivity in the agriculture sector, number one, productivity in the mining sector, number two, and as well as productivity in the construction industry.
Yeah.
These are the industries that relies heavily on water. And over and above economic development, water is essential for human development as well. If you have a healthy and fit capacity, human capacity, you are guaranteed to increase and optimize productivity.
Mm.
In South Africa, we see a massive investment, infrastructure investment, also taking shape. Botswana. So this aspect, the big question though is whether the capital will sustain this development going further, because these are huge long-term investments.
Yeah.
So hopefully that there will be no major catastrophic decision from somewhere to come and halt all of this. And I'm speaking in terms of what we have recently seen with some executive orders being signed, which has got catastrophic implications for Africa. So what are these things? I am talking about decision that is going to reverse or that have reversed gains that Africa has made.
Yeah.
In terms of trade, Africa was way above its weight in terms of trading with the rest of the world, particularly the Americas, the Europe. Now, out of the blue, a new administration comes in and put brakes to those. Some commentators are saying, yes, this is the right thing to do so that Africa can wake up and learn.
Yeah.
You don't wake up and learn overnight. You lose. You make losses. The decision to impose all these tariffs were not really done in good faith. Africa's situation needs to be understood from the African context.
Mm.
We can't just wake up and learn to trade amongst ourselves. These things take time. These things need powerful decision to remove the blockages and barriers.
Mm.
This analyst who says that, yeah, Africa should have learned how to trade amongst themselves and not rely on America, they don't understand. They just, in fact, they demonstrate a serious lack of ignorance about African issues. And so these are some of the issues then that are fanned out, that are put into the minds of some of the African leaders to make them realize how unworthy they are.
Mm.
Because if a person asks you for 35 years, why couldn't you make yourself sustainable? You cannot self-sustain in 35 years in some areas.
Yeah.
And so this complicates Africans' growth trajectory to a maximum degree. And so in those areas, now the for me as a person, I'm confident and I draw confidence in the fact that the God Almighty actually blessed Africa immensely. While there are these forces that are challenging, that are countering efforts, the Almighty stands there. He keeps all his minerals here, right here at home.
Yeah.
He makes sure that the global warming that is being spoken elsewhere, here, we get to hear about it. Of course, we find all these changes in weather patterns that affect agriculture here and there. But over and above, we still have sufficient water resources that if there's investment in grain schemes, all of these water resources could be put to good use. We could stand on our own and trade on amongst ourselves. We just need to make sure we remove all these barriers within Africa so that we can, first of all, charity begins at home, begin to trade with us. But guns must be silenced.
Yeah.
It is at the heart of AU agenda. Guns must be silenced. Why? Guns must be silent so that we can trade.
Yeah. So the other thing that you mentioned, the barrier that one of the mentioned is that China is actually supporting us in terms of Africa, I mean, infrastructure network. Yeah. Some other people look at also that could also, isn't that also creating another problem maybe where we actually loaning this, you know, money from China, or we're getting this help from China, and that can also really balloon our debt, and that create another problem?
You are quite right. Yes, that is it's a rising concern. Actually, here in Namibia, we have been talking about this escalating debt.
Yeah,
when we started raising this concern a few years ago, we were at 46, close to 50% of debt to GDP, and at that time it looked like there is no way it can go beyond 50. No way.
Yeah,
but now we are looking closer to 60-75%. Okay, that is not a Namibian issue. It's all over Africa. But guess what? What is the country that has the largest debt stock? The U.S., the most powerful country in the world, is also indebted. But why are they not blowing their horn? Why are they not panicking? They have debt sustainability plans in place. There is nothing wrong with getting a debt at a national level. You need to have a debt sustainability plan. This will keep you using their money while you're developing your economy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Africa and many, for Namibia and many African countries, we tend to deviate from the original plan of the money, original plan of what we wanted to use the money for, such that when we deviate from that plan, we do not put that money in good use for it to generate sufficient revenue to repay back the loan.
Yeah.
And it takes longer cycle period, longer investment breakthrough, such that before the loan is matured, the investment has not taken place yet. And there are many other issues regarding surrounding that. So it is a big concern.
Yeah.
However, we need to have very, very smart minds when we get into these contracts, when we get into these agreements. Countries like China still offers better terms when it comes to loans than other countries.
Yeah.
And remember, when somebody comes and says, I want to come and build a permanent structure in your village, in a way, it's a good thing, because that person will not come and chase you out of your village.
Yeah.
they might grab your cow, your cat, your chicken, but they will not take your village. So you are at a much more better side, because the roads, the networks, the railway that are being built in Senegal, in Kenya, in Tanzania, the only thing Chinese can come and do is to probably grab one of the assets that they say, okay, this is a loan. Loan, you need to some sort of an asset collateral if you mismanage. So the onus is on us not to mismanage.
Yeah,
because trust me, many, many countries that I know of have developed based on other people's money. The United Arab Emirates, before the oil boomed, or during the, in fact, what led to the United Arab Emirates' success is when they realized that they're sitting on oil, they started getting all these loans to come and develop this natural resource. And they made it so fast and repaid. Now they become the biggest lender. We can do the same, because we're sitting on massive, massive deposit of all known natural resources. We just need to really have smart minds to go about it.
Yeah.
So for me, really, there's nothing wrong with getting a loan, as long as you know how to manage it.
Yeah. The other thing, maybe I need your opinion, is the, you know, when you look at our, and it's actually what you're saying, when you look at our president, the current president, who was since she took over, office, and her first actually diplomatic, visit were in the region, where she emphasized regional unity, self-reliance and break from the Western dependency. So what do you think? Would that then, you mentioned actually the road and railway in Kenya and Tanzania. Would that then unlock the collaboration on cross border infrastructure such as railway, grid, airspace, and beyond border value chain?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, Namibia is a very, very lucky country in the sense that it has a leader who is a Pan-African.
Yeah.
Most leaders, their first trip would be to Hollywood, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
The day you become elected, tomorrow you fly to Hollywood. What are you doing in Hollywood? Who are those people? Do you know them? Do you know their agenda?
Yeah.
Now, what our lady did, the first president, is to consolidate her economic, her political, her social ambition and aspiration within the region.
Mm.
To tell the region to say, hey, I'm here now. What are we doing at home first?
Yeah.
Before we go out. And so this is a strong signal that all of those plans that were laid, the foundation, whose foundation was laid by the former leaders, are actually in a good position to be revived, to be strengthened, to be actuated. I've mentioned about all these ambitious energy projects in SADC that were just waiting for somebody to champion.
Yeah.
And our president speaks that language. She wants to find out why can't we have this big hydro dam, this big Huangwe dam. Why can't we have all these big, massive projects powering the region?
Mm.
She is asking a question, why do we buy petroleum from Saudi Arabia, whereas Angola next door have massive, massive resources of petroleum? Why?
Mm.
She's asking all of those questions. Why? Because she understands that there's value inside it. She understands that, no, nothing is, not everything is lost. And so what she needs now, it is really support, technical support from those that understand the business,
yeah,
and those that believe in Africa, to rally behind her and support her, because her mission is very clear. She has a clear vision of Namibia, clear vision of the region, clear vision of Africa. The reason I'm saying she speaks this language is because she has been a Minister of Foreign Affairs, International Relations, you name it.
Mm.
She understands. And she is an internationalist, meaning that in her years of exile, she has lived in many, many, many countries, Africa.
Yeah.
So she understands African problems and challenges and solutions. She just needs to be supported.
Mm.
And for me, really, I think it's a hope,
yeah,
a glimmer of hope for Namibia, for Africa. And this is a time that we really need to celebrate some of these so that they take shape, they fuel their ambition and take Africa to the next level.
Mm. Yeah, critics argue also that overlapping regional trade bloc complicate actually the intra-African trade goals. So how can these regional and continental initiative be harmonized?
Yeah, that has been a challenge for Africa, overlapping regional blocs and stuff like that, because the issue here is that you have COMESA, you have SADC, you have ECOWAS, you have all those kind of things. They, each and every regional bloc have got its specific objective and ambition. And sometimes this ambition and objective overlaps and they conflict with one another.
Yeah.
And that creates a huge challenge as far as Africa unification is concerned. What is the solution? Well, the solution is to look towards the African Union itself.
Yeah.
What is the collective ambition of all of this? Let's pursue those. What are those that are conflicting? Let's get rid of them. As Africa, the challenge is when we go to sit at SADC level, we invite others that are speaking a different language, which brings in their different philosophies and confuse everyone on the table. For me, I believe that if we follow the African agenda, we are able to overlook the conflicts within our small regional blocks.
Yeah.
What SADC want is to tap into these millions of market in SADC. Trade. What COMESA want is to do the same. Why can't we look at the commonalities and pursue those? For me, the only challenge that complicates things is the sound of guns. Because right now, as it is, you cannot take your corn, you cannot take your chitenge to DRC without going through Europe.
Yeah.
If you're from this side. Why? Because M23 is busy. People are fighting this side of the border of DRC. And for everyone that has a business there, they either have to stop completely, they have to shelve things, they have to move their business. This is beyond SADC. This is beyond ECOWAS. This is beyond COMESA. This is beyond whatever. It is a very, very serious issue. Guns must be silenced so that people can think quietly, can think clearly. You can't think straight with the sound of guns. You understand?
Yeah.
And so, for me, really, all these differences amongst the regional blocs are very, very minor. They are not serious issues. The serious issue is the sound of guns that must be silenced so that people begin to think quietly and you know, straight.
Do you think the reliance on Africa's reliance on commodity export, do you think that actually limits its ability to diversify trade under the African trade intra-African trade framework?
There is nothing wrong with export. Let me just say it from the beginning. Export is good. If you go back in history of economics during the mercantile era, the golden era, all of these eras have been fueled by export. What is wrong, actually, is exporting raw material. You need to trade. Even in biblical times, we have stories of rich people traveling, traversing the deserts to trade. But they were trading with fine gold. They were refining their gold. What is challenging Africa's growth is that we rely heavily on export of raw material. When you export raw material, you're exporting jobs. Because the jobs that you need to have to refine those are going to those countries where you're exporting. And this is where we need to go back in history and trace where did we go wrong? How did we get into some of these permanent agreements with some of these powerful nations that we must export all our things in raw? We must stop that. That must be stopped. How can we stop that? We need to create industries, Africa, 10 African industries, and let nobody stop us from doing that because those are the enemies of progress for Africa. So what is it that Africa is exporting? Africa is exporting almost everything. We export oil. We export gold. We export uranium in raw form. That is where the problem is. Then those countries where we're exporting, they refine it. Before they refine it, they create industries, they create jobs, they make serious money. And this needs to be reversed. Look at Angola. Angola has got a well-established oil industry like no other. But Namibia cannot buy Angola's oil. Apparently it is dirty. Have you seen Angola's oil?
Gungula, I have seen it.
Then Gungula. Apparently it's dirty, but I see all those cars in the north driving even up to Ventuk.
Yeah.
And Gungula thinks.
Exactly.
Now, our cars, even our government cars, when they drive to Angola for Kasinga Day celebration, they're full with the Gungulas. Now, you can tell me that there's something terribly wrong with Gungula. If we drive, I personally drive to Angola. And I fill up my car with Gungula, in Angola, and come back and fill the Namibian fuel or whatever fuel this is. Nothing happens to my car. So why can't the region begin to support those countries that have got strategic resources? Angola, for instance, have got a strategic resource in the sense of oil. Namibia's uranium is like no other. Why can the region support Namibia to elevate its uranium activities to not just the yellow cake? Why can't the region support Zimbabwe's agriculture, massive agriculture powerhouse? South Africa is a powerhouse on its own. Why can't it open up and support other countries within the region? Then we go all the way up to Central Africa, East Africa, North Africa. This continent will never be the same again.
You earlier on you were talking also the infrastructure network, which also I'm thinking, how can the and you can come in and really explain this, how can the public private partnership able, are they not private private public PPP, can it not address these issues? And how can that be, how would I say it? What actually limiting that to actually happen? I'm not too sure if I'm clear with my question with you.
Yeah, you are. I'm getting the gist of it.
Yeah.
I'm getting the gist of it. So what role can the private sector play?
Yeah.
In this whole issue. And when you ask that question, you are referring to triple P.
Triple P, yeah.
Private public partnership. We have seen some success stories of triple P's in Namibia, in South Africa, Zimbabwe, elsewhere. In fact, there is a huge element of triple P in the most recent infrastructure that we have seen coming up, Kazungula Border Post.
Yeah.
That one that connects Namibia
to Zambia?
Botswana, Zambia. Yes. Massive structure. The Namibian government alone would not have afforded that project. We're looking at the Zambezi, the Sheke Border Post. That's correct?
Yeah.
The one that connects Katima to Katima.
Yeah.
Massive, massive investment. Do you think that the Namibian government could have afforded that? We are talking about tripartite. The Zambian government, the Namibian government, the private sector coming in. International private sector, of course. So if this arrangement can produce massive investments, infrastructure such as those, what about internal ones?
Yeah.
The challenge is there is a mistrust of the private sector to government, especially those private sector that have links with authorities outside of Africa, outside of Namibia. There is that mistrust on government to say, if I put my money into this project that is owned by that is to be run by government, how sure am I that it will come to fruition? Here, government also has got to look at itself and has got a lot to be blamed because of how it has behaved. I'm talking about corruption.
Corruption and all that, yeah.
Corruption and all that. There are instances where opportunities were lost merely because of the risk of corruption.
Yeah.
And so government needs to clear its house first to allow and invite the private sector to come in, because private sector is very careful, very cautious with their money. But there is massive opportunities if government and private sector work together. Because at the end of the day, the role of government is not to actually do business, but to enable, to create an environment where business can be done. And one of these is to provide the infrastructure. Now, if the government cannot provide infrastructure by itself, it can invite the private sector.
Yeah.
Come and provide infrastructure. There are various models thereafter where you build, own, operate. Or you build and operate. You don't own. You own at some time. You own and operate. Now, somebody comes with various models that you can use. If you go to other countries, you find a whole airport, a whole port, a harbor, in the hands of the private sector. It was built by government. So government built and allowed the private sector to operate, recoup its money, hand back the asset to government.
Mm.
Or you find private sector gives money to government, government build, operate, after some time, hand the asset to the private sector. This has been done everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
These are some of the models that have proven to be working. We can bring this to Africa and change the whole story of Africa.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. There is also a concern, when it comes to small economies actually being, afraid to be marginalized in the Africa, continental free trade area. So they fear being marginalized in that framework. So what safeguard exists really to ensure inclusive participation?
Well, that assertion also need to be unpacked. It need to be studied.
Mm.
It need to be understood. What do you mean, small countries? Do you think, do you call Namibia small? Is Namibia a small country?
So maybe, for example, Sudan, other countries that are really, their economy is really quite very, we interrogate this. Let's quickly have to go to the break, mm-hmm. to a commercial mm-hmm. break, and then we come back.
Mm. Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Mula when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
Okay, welcome back. Yeah. All right, maybe just looking at countries that have their economies actually much lower compared to other countries, and they probably feel that they will be suffocated in being part of that.
Mm. Yeah. So
actually, the question then is just to say what really is there some kind of safeguard that ensure that this is very inclusive in terms of participation, and is that sufficient enough?
Yes. So if you look at the agreement itself, it has provisions. Every trade agreement has got provision.
Yeah.
In line with WTO, provision that prohibits other countries from dumping useless stuff in the other market.
Yeah.
Anti-dumping. Provision that allows those small countries, according to your word,
yeah.
small countries, industries.
A small company, yeah.
yeah. Small countries, industries
mm.
to develop, not to be swallowed by bigger industries. For example, a car manufacturer industry here in Namibia.
Yeah.
Stands very, very little chance of succeeding because there's a huge car industry in South Africa
mm.
next door. So when you enter into agreements, these things are flushed out and questions are asked, so how are we going to be protected?
Yeah.
If you look at the Africa Continental Agreement, says that a businessman in Nigeria can come and trade in Namibia. So think of a situation where a businessman in Nigeria, we are talking about a village. So there's one village which decide, let's go to Namibia.
Mm.
In Namibia, a village is made up of maybe big villages, you know, not even 500 people. A small village in Nigeria is 500,000.
Yeah.
So if that 500,000 decide to come to Namibia and trade, it's disastrous.
Yeah.
But this is what we need. Why do we need it, knowing that we know that there are provisions? So what is happening with the free Africa free trade continent is that the signatories or the convention, what's the convention, the protocol
yeah.
is very clear to say that trade must happen, but it must not happen, it must not be, what's the word, I'm looking for a good word, but it must not damage the business of the other country.
Yeah.
There are all those protections in place. The challenge is the enforcement. the compliance. In trade, compliance cost can be extremely huge. And so business people tend to ignore those or avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
Compliance from the business sector itself and enforcement from the government.
Yeah.
Most governments do not have sufficient resources to deploy to ensure that the rules and protocols are observed. Goods will come in from Ghana that have not been checked thoroughly. Yeah. I'm just using an example.
Yeah.
Goods will come from wherever not been checked into Namibia. Invoices not been validated, undervalued or overvalued, whichever the case might be.
Mm.
But you need to have institutions in place. NAMRA, for example, in as much as it is the tax collector, they also deal with custom issues.
Yeah.
We need to capacitate them so that they're able to protect the Namibian industries from unlawful practices of other countries. But those that are lawful are most welcome.
Mm.
So the question, your question is neither, the answer is neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Because this is a developing story. It's a situation that changes, which has a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
So to answer it is to say that the agreement has got those provisions in place, but it is the enforcement, it is the compliance that will determine really how small countries navigate and survive the interesting, the nitty gritty of doing business in Africa.
Yeah.
But there is no such thing as a small country. Maybe let me emphasize that.
Yeah.
A country like Namibia is a very big country. You know, geographically, German can actually enter Namibia four times.
Yeah.
That's how big Namibia is. So you can't call it small. Sudan, Nigeria, those are humongous countries.
Mm.
What makes Namibia small is its population.
Yeah.
So the population is the market. If you have a small population, your market can be gauged based on the population.
Mm.
So you might classify it as a small country.
Yeah.
But the hugeness, the landmass is an advantage, especially to countries that have got huge arable land.
Mm.
Namibia has got part of it, a huge part of it is desert. Now, in desert, you cannot grow tomato, but you can generate energy. You can do all other hard stuff in there. So the question of size, it is important, but it's not absolute important.
Yeah.
It is really how you protect your economic interest at the table. Yeah.
All right. So the agriculture employs over 50% of Africa's workforce, but contribute only about 15 to 20% of GDP. So how can the Africa continent of free trade area, transform this sector into a regional value chain?
Mm. Yeah, you're quite right. It's modernization.
Yeah.
We need to modernize the sector. By that, I mean, we need to bring in technology to the sector so that that technology helps the sector to export finished product. The reason why it employs the largest and contribute the smallest is because the contribution comes from the raw side of things.
Yeah.
And this is because the sector, to a large extent, is not being modernized. If you go to China, if you go to Europe, if you go elsewhere, they have modernized their sector such that the sectors are now more lucrative, closer to getting themselves closer to IT and all of those. So in Africa, what we need to modernize the sector. We need to make it compete on the table by making sure that it produces, it exports finished products that have high value Mahangu. You can have 30,000 hectares of Mahangu. And if that Mahangu is not processed or refined, its value will be very, very little.
Yeah.
Then you have somebody that have got 2 hectares of maize, but that maize is being processed. 2 hectares of tomato, that tomato or whatever is being processed, they will have high value, more return than somebody that have a massive land. So what am I saying? We need to modernize. And we have seen efforts from government. The Namibian government, 2-3 years ago, they've been running this program where they are inviting farmers to come forward and participate in this modern or implementation equipment grants. They are actually giving money to farmers that want to buy equipment to modernize the sector. That's a great initiative. That is rolled out all over Africa.
Yeah.
We are talking about an Africa that exports finished products with high value. So for me, really, these small examples, these little pockets in Africa can be harnessed to create a big wave. Africa's agriculture sector would also be elevated to become a powerhouse.
So earlier on, you also mentioned about the geopolitics. And as the global power now, via for influence in Africa, how can we use the intra trade to get better deals actually in international trade?
So the Africa Free Trade, Continental Free Trade, has many purposes. It plans to unlock trade within Africa, but also at the same time it seeks to create the one voice for Africa. So if this initiative is supported by everyone, we are going to give it power to speak on our behalf. So if there are discussions at the global table, instead of sending SADC to stand there by itself, instead of sending ECOWAS, COMESA to stand there by themselves, we can send actually the African delegation under the auspice of this agreement to speak for Africa. If they speak for Africa in that manner, their voice becomes strong. And if their voice becomes strong, then we stand a chance to influence decisions on the table. Right now what is happening is that we go there and we speak with different voices. This day you see Donald Trump is inviting the Kenyan president. They sit there, they speak on TV, and then they retire to the private room. What are they talking there? Tomorrow you see Donald Trump is inviting Cyril Ramaphosa. They are speaking there, they are watching a video, and the next thing you know, they've disappeared to, and you know, these things, it is not going to help Africa a lot. It is divide and rule, conquer. So we need, when these things emerge, Africa could have sent a powerful delegation there to speak on behalf of South Africa, to speak on behalf of Kenya, to speak on behalf of DRC, so that the world knows that Africa is united. And there are no shady deals. Right now we hear that DRC, there are some proposals that are being flaunted to them. Give us this, we are going to protect you from your cousins. These things are not, these are un-African. We need an Africa, a unified Africa that would say, hey, those people are cousins. We are going to deal with them. We are the uncles. So please keep your money. We deal with this the African way. And then we deal with it the African way. We can do the same for trade. We do the same for politics. We do the same for education. We do the same for everything. As an African. So the Africa Free Trade Continental, as much as it's an economic bloc, it can be a springboard for many bigger things so that Africa can speak with one voice. But as we know, that has been a challenge that has been challenged the most. United States of Africa's ambition has been one of the ambition that has been attacked the most. It is like nobody wants to see Africa united. They will do everything to make sure that Africans themselves do not like the idea, do not, in fact, do not buy into the idea of a united Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll create all these adverts, all these campaigns to dissuade Africans from being united.
Yeah.
And then they are sold all these ideas about others except what it is to be an African.
Mm.
And it's a very, very painful thing to see.
Yeah. Well, I try to keep you this longer because I know it's a public holiday. You are. Yeah. So, yeah. But, finally, and this is really about now the ordinary African, you know, citizen. What concrete steps should our government, businesses and civil society, take? What kind of steps should we take to ensure that ordinary Africans benefit from this continental integration?
Yes, absolutely. So, one, information.
Yeah.
There's very, very little information known about this agreement to laymen, to ordinary people. You know, sometimes one of the reasons why ideas do not take ground is because they are kept in the heads of those who know it.
Yeah.
If you go to Oshaka, Okangwangati, I don't know if there's a village by that name in Namibia.
Yeah.
When you talk about
Kangwati,
and you talk about this, you will sound foreign. You're like, what are you talking about? But this is the grassroots that needs to support this. Business starts from the grassroots. What am I saying? We need to communicate these ideas to the grassroots so that they garner support. If Namibia wants to trade in Ghana or in Nigeria, they need to trade with things that are not in, that are not produced in Nigeria. Because you cannot go and compete with the fufu or agege breed. You must take Oshivambo chicken there. You must take Herero bread there.
Yeah.
Now who is going to take Herero bread there? People from Vendo? No. It's people from the village, people from the grassroots. But they are only going to do that if they know of the existence of this.
Yeah.
So we need to communicate. We need to inform. We need to create platform, knowledge platform, so that we garner support. These are the people that the government takes to these trade fairs. Right now, there are a number of trade fairs going on in the rest of the world, the rest of Africa.
Yeah.
And there are very good products, the embe oil that can be marketed there. But these people who are producing these traditional products, many of them are not aware of the existence of this platform. We need to communicate. That's number one. Number two, indigenous knowledge.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the song by the late Lucky Dube, going back to my roots. We need to go back to our roots as African. What is it that our ancestors did? What is it that they knew that made them strong? Remember, Africa is the cradle of civilization. Everything started in Africa by Africans. What happened to that knowledge? We need to bring...
Oh, it's always like, probably it has been an hour. And then, so I don't know why this happens. You know, it has been an hour. So let me call him back just to be able to say goodbye. I wouldn't want him to end that way. So I'm going to call him and
say goodbye. Anageshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seithani na omayaguro ni randitoma yoe yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeneha uo kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konaraje takuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oliyaji. Eagle FM. Go high.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should...
Molly, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. No, I didn't want you to end that way. So, so probably lastly, can you just, just whatever you want to say, or this is an it's Africa Day. We're still actually celebrating after day. Any other message or maybe something that is very important that I haven't really asked you that you would like to share, for our listeners? Yeah.
I think the most important thing that we didn't touch about is what is called the demographic dividend.
Yeah.
Harnessing the power of the youth.
Mm.
Africa is a young continent, full of youths. What are we doing to harness the power of the youth?
Yeah.
Because all we hear is, Honorable, this was there.
Yeah.
Mr. This was there, Mr. This is here. Where are the young people?
Mm.
When are the young people's voice going to be listened to? When are the young people's voice going to be given a chance? When are the young people going to be supported? Because the future of this continent lies in the hands of the young people.
Yeah.
And Africa, studies have shown many evidence is there, which points to the fact that Africa has full of young people. And if we can harness the power, the energy, Africa is going to reap massive dividends. The China we see today is run and has been made powerful by the young people of that time.
Yeah.
The Chinese government realized that let us invest in the young people because tomorrow they will be the leaders. What I see in many African countries is that the youth, they are plight, their challenges have been relegated and only spoken about during election. After election, you hear absolutely nothing about the youth. And then you wait, when it's election, the youth are on board again.
Yeah.
We need to change that. We need to consistently engage the youth, listen to them, understand what their challenges are, help them, because this country, this continent is in the hands of the youth. Yeah.
All right.
So that for me is my parting message.
Yeah. No, Molly, thank you very much for really shedding lights on some of these challenges and questions, and your insight has really opened up some have really shed light on some of the questions that most of us have, and we appreciate for making time to talk to our listener this morning.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and again, happy Africa Day. Wish everybody, everywhere, every African, everybody in the world, a blessed day ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
All right. That was Molly Likukela, an economist and a lecturer at Namibia University of Science and Technology. So giving us a breakdown some of the issues when it comes to when it comes to Africa, so when it comes to our beloved continent. So I will open up the line and have you come through and have your contribution as well, so on the program.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM,
The Eye. The Eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, Rio Sherero Omaimburiro, the Catholics Imaneka Karunga, the Afrikaans Selfwar Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.
Okay, welcome and welcome back, and thanks thanks for joining us. And if you just join us, and you're welcome to Unpacking the Day. We open up the line now. We open up the line, and you can come through. So our telephone number is 08333 66 091, 08333 66 091. So you're most welcome to come through now. All right. So we really touched on a couple of really issues, in depth, and, really got some good insight. Let's get to the caller quickly.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Day.
Yes. Good morning, Mike.
How are you?
Fine. Thank you. How are you too?
Happy Africa Day.
Yeah. Let me also salute you for what you people have done.
Yeah.
For our framers of our constitution, African continent, how they liberated Africa, we sacrificed. And obviously, this time around, I think we need the restoration.
Yeah.
And the doctor said there, Likukera, mentioned that yes, Africa feed the world.
Yeah.
And if that is the potential of Africa in terms of the population, the youth, as you mentioned, and all this few existing infrastructure where we can then begin to build thereupon, I think it's very, very important for us to demand or even put some strange kind of conditions and terms to those who are in business with us. And if we do not put preconditions, you know very well that most of us, they impose some kind of preconditions during the colonial and apartheid system. And for us now, as we negotiate for a better state, we must also then put some strange conditions there. Obviously, we give them incentives, we do all these kind of things.
Yeah.
We give them the people to work, you know. But then they are still giving us some conditions.
Mm.
You remember, I think you are the one who was highlighting some key issues that the African Development Bank has paid, or is it the International Monetary Fund?
Yeah.
When it comes to our capacity to perform some of those activities. They were even talking about we don't have the capacity to engage, to undertake water infrastructure, for example. You have heard about these roads, these big roads. And I'm happy that Likukela mentioned about the huge kind of investment, the money that you need to put in there, some billions and billions. And I hope he has answered the question that it has been dropping up, 10% investment in exploration. And I believe, I think he has made it clear. Because remember last time when we were having a conversation, me and you, we still did not agree on this point of less to invest, let's say 10% as an example.
Yeah.
Now what he's saying is that you might need to put, are you there, Mike?
I'm here. Yeah.
You might need to put, let's say 10% in a project that, development project that might cost you, say, 10 billion.
Hmm.
So that money, when you deviate it there, you then use it for social development, for example. So that 10%, I think it shouldn't be popping up again most of the time. We should just understand it the way it's illustrated there, explained there. So the partnership that you talk about, you know, it's true. Those loans need to be serviced. Even within our domestic house,
yeah,
it is very difficult for you to find even this small business entity partnering up together. And we are saying that we do not have resources, and we are told that we need to have smart minds like the Chinese. The Chinese are the ones who are offering also. And I was reading an article where they are saying, yeah, America, so your GDP is, I don't know how many times, lesser, smaller than the one of China.
Mm.
But I still find them making a lot of noise, the Americans. So what we need to do, maybe, let's utilize this PPP that people is being mentioned about.
Yeah.
So that where we are lacking, if it is in the area of money, or now the human development or the skills, which they are saying that we do not have. And now that we have heard the education is getting free, maybe we need also to identify some of the critical areas, like agriculture and water infrastructure, or even in this construction. What are we doing now to encourage our young ones? Because there are still a lot of them there. And when they are talking about lack of capacity, it may, you know, obviously it has to do with the skill as well, the technical know-how, might have the money there. But if there are no people who can really do the job, then what? So let's encourage our children to go to maybe some critical areas where we can then say, yes, these other areas, especially those to do with green hydrogen and all these things, energy from the desert.
Yeah.
And I read also some of the deserts in other countries, they were converted into agriculture.
Mm.
So, my brother, I think the major issue that we need to look at also here is that when we are investing 10%, or when we get loans and we are able to manage it, to service it properly, so then we shouldn't really have a problem. So what we can do now, instead, we now use that money that was supposed to have been invested in those big projects and then utilize it in our little corner there. So thank you very much for giving us an opportunity and also giving us the economists there to give us more, to give us more insight on these issues. But we need to work together.
Right.
So we are told the transportation network and all these things. But the silencing of the gun, I know they are funded by most of those.
We didn't have much time. Let's also see if there will be some other people coming through.
Yeah, please, let's not explain that 10% properly to your clients.
All right.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, our time is about 17 minutes past the hour of 9, and we normally go up to half past 9. So our telephone number 0833-66091. So you may come through. You can react to any one of our news, whether it's from early morning scoop. Is there anything that struck you and you want to react on that? You most welcome through. Or it is something, it was maybe, let's say, the F&B segment that we have as well. So anything at all that you, that we have covered, from the early morning, from the early morning scoop until now, you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction. Yeah. And just the conversation that we have, with Molly. So you're also welcome to have your reaction or your own comment, your own contribution on the significance, maybe the significance of the day, the Africa Day, how significant this day, to you and to Africa and to Namibia, how significant it is. You can come through. We have about, still 11 minutes left. So come through and, talk about it. Talk about the day. How significant is it, for you as an individual and have your opinion on that. So yeah, welcome. Our telephone number again, 0833-66091. So yeah, as we're reflecting on Africa Day 2025, this year the African Union has rallied around the a powerful theme, justice for Africans and people of African descent through reparations. So it's a call to reckon with history, forge unity, and also accelerate our continent progress. So yeah, May the 25th marks the founding of the Organization of African Unity back in 1963. Now evolve into today African Union. That's what's now African Union. And each year, Africa Day reminds us of Pan-Africanism's promise, the Pan-Africanism promise. What are those promises? Solidarity and freedom from colonial legacies and also a shared advancement. So those are some of the of the promises from the original promises. Now this year the AU chairperson, His Excellency Mahmoud Ali Yusuf, framed the conversation around reparatory justice. So he urged us to honor those who suffered under the slavery and colonialism, asserting our right to truth, restitution and restorations. So, while we should be also, refuse, to remain shackled, by the past traumas as well. So, yeah, there are a couple of, in his address, there are a couple of, couple of issues that he raised. Maybe while you are coming through, let me just maybe highlight some of those ones. And you're most welcome to come through, as I said, and have your comment, or your contribution on the significance of the day, the Africa Day. Yeah. So as I said, there are some issues that he highlight. He highlight the reparation and the collective healing. So where he actually push for reparations, and which he says that, it's not just about the financial compensation. It's about acknowledging wounds and rebuild trust between Africa and its, diaspora. So what the message is, we cannot move forward. What he's trying to say is that we cannot move forward without first seeking justice for generations who labor and lives were were exploited. So, yeah. So this is it's a political and moral imperative, you know, that we the transform to transform if this need to be transformed. So it shouldn't be just a symbolic apologies, but it should also translate it into policies for development and readdress the injustices that many of our people went through. So, and that's really, really, that address also the issue. Actually, it put us into, it put us, especially for us Namibia, as we will be, on the 28th, remember or commemorate the genocide, commemorations, a genocide. What is that? What is the word? All right. So, okay. So that's actually put us then. That's actually what he said. It really goes well with what we in Namibia, strive to achieve. So the other issue also is the, he also talking about that and which also I think Molly also mentioned harness of Africa's youth and resources. So our continent population will top 2.5 billion by 2050. So a demographic dividend that if properly educated and empowered actually can drive a global innovation and growth. So, and to add to that, as also, Molly have mentioned, the vast arable land, rich mineral deposits and renewable energy potential. So you see why, you see why Africa is being called the engine of tomorrow's world economy. So, yeah, that's another issue he actually addressed. The other issue also, is the issue of, economic resilience and value addition. So, and he talked about before the pandemic, several African nations were posting double GDP growth. So, but growth without then transformation risk repeating old patterns. So exporting raw material, as also Likukela was also saying, exporting raw material for low returns. So the AU stressed value addition, and this is also what our president is actually hammering about. So value addition through initiative like African Continental Free Trade Area, ensuring now our resources, feed, processing plants, feed, and create local jobs, and not just foreign profit. So, yeah. So, and as I said, this is also our president echoing as well. So, when I look through his address again, there's also the other issue would be the Africa's global role. For the first time, the AU has a seat at the G20 table. A symbolic victory, according to what he said, and a platform to reshape rules of global trade, to reshape the rules of global trade, the rules of finance and climate actions. So if you are not on the table, you cannot actually influence anything. So that is a symbolic victory for Africa as well. So, but he also said membership is only powerful as the agenda it brings, or as the agenda we bring. So if you are just sit there, so if you're just sitting there and you don't bring agenda to the table, so you are actually you're just as useless as we don't, you're just as useless as nobody, as if we're not represented at all. So membership is only as powerful, as he said, as the agenda we bring. So the chairperson insists we must defend our resources, demand fair partnership, and refuse to be global afterthought. We shouldn't be a global afterthought. So, and the other, when I go through also his address, the other thing is the Pan-African unity and the strategic foresight. So, like saying, you know, Pan-Africanism was born from dreams of unity and strategic planning. So today's call is no difference. Today's call is no different. So it's an invitation for bold, united actions. That's still the same as it was before. And whether it is in Addis Ababa or Dakar or Windhoek, so we are reminded that our strength lies in cooperation, cross-border generations, and sectors like agriculture, as we talked about earlier on. So, yes, and that's actually bring us exactly at 9:30. That bring us at the end of our edition of Unpacking the Day. So please do join us again tomorrow at the same time. So, and thanks for those who participate, and who come through. And, we thank also, Molly, for making time, especially on holiday, to come through and speak to you guys, who are just relaxing at home or wherever you find yourself. Or maybe you're at work like me. So, all right. Until tomorrow again, and let's do this again tomorrow at the same time on the same station, Eagle FM. And please do stay tuned for other programs as well. As usual, our programs just haven't changed because of public holidays, so we still have our programs are just as normally as it comes. So thank you. Until tomorrow. From me, Michael Chavelli, goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
With the
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Audio mnangeshefa ni wahara kushivitha oma akuro ya kupitira muhurike radio station aweyo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono raheta tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa kono raheta tu natu, mbali o heta tu vatatu, ne no la no natu. Nenge tumo emaila monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa
Eagle FM the eye.